We're going to look at some things here. And Brother Cleo, he's going to come and he's going to read the whole chapter here for us, and of 2 Kings chapter 5. And 27 verses.
2 Kings chapter 5. What a glorious day to be in the house of the Lord. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away, and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, "Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant." But he said, "As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, "Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servants 2 mules, burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, "Go in peace." So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "Behold, my master hath spared Naaman the Syrian, and not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him." So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master hath sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments." And Naaman said, "Be content, take 2 talents." And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of garments and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, "Whence comest thou, Gehazi?" And he said, "Thy servant went nowhither. And he said unto him, "Went not mine heart with thee, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever." And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. And we're going to look at some things here in 2 Kings chapter 2 Kings chapter 5, and I find some really interesting things. I don't know if you all do this or not, but I like to go places, and I'll go sometimes to the mall or to the store, and I don't really like to do a whole lot of shopping unless I get to do some good shopping. You know, a really good hardware store like Layman's or, you know, Cabela's or Bass Pro, you know, some places really good, you know, but where the, you know, they have the clothes and all that other stuff, I don't really like to do that. But what I do like to do is I like to people watch. You know, you can learn a lot by just watching people. As I was reading over chapter 5 and preparing for the children, I got to looking at the people in 2 Kings chapter 5. And I saw some really interesting things that I want to bring out and show to us here today about the people in 2 Kings chapter 5. And what's really interesting is there's some of them that were named, and there's some of them that were not named. And really, some of the ones that were not named were really the ones who were getting something done. Or doing something in the story, and I really kind of I really thought that was kind of interesting, and especially when it talks about the servants and the servants and what they were doing, and I just find it interesting that their names were not mentioned, and we'll talk about that here shortly. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I pray now, Lord, that you would help me, Lord, to bring out from this passage of Scripture, what you would have for us today. Lord, I pray that we would find ourselves faithful. Lord, I pray that as we look at the people of 2 Kings chapter 5, and Lord, I pray that you would help us to identify with each one. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to maybe in a certain person in this story, maybe we might see ourselves, and Father, and learn from it today, Lord. And I just pray now that you would guide and direct and bless, and we'll thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. And as we go here, we're going to start out in verse number 1 about you could probably say the key man in this story, Nahum. And verse number 1, it has a lot to say about Nahum. The Bible says, "And now Nahum, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, and he was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper." You know, there's a lot of good things that it talks about here about Nahum. First of all, he was a captain. He was a man that was important. He was a man that had position. He was a man that when he gave orders, people were expected to obey and expected to obey immediately. So he was a captain, he was also a servant. He was not a man of his own, but he was the captain of the host of the king of Syria. He had someone that he had to answer to, but he was high up there in the thing. And the Bible says that he was a great man. You know, when we're talked about, you know, we always like to be talked about favorably. As your pastor, you know, when you all talk about me during the week, I pray that your conversations are favorably to me. I guess it all depends on what I've preached and how upset you are or how happy you are. The things that is being said about Nahum here, he was a captain of the host. He was a great man. He was an honorable man. And he did some great things. He did some wonderful things. Because the Bible says, because by the hand of the Lord, he gave deliverance unto Syria. So he was a mighty man. He was victorious in his quest, and only, as the Bible says, by the grace of God here. So he had a lot of things to say about him. And he was a great man. He was a mighty man of valor. And you know, as I picture Nahum, he was probably, as we've gone thus far, he was probably everything that, you know, when we look at ourselves and we think, you know, especially, you know, ladies, you'll just have to forgive us men for who we are. We like to be known as men as valor and strong and powerful and men that get out and do a job and get some stuff done. And the way the Bible describes Nahum here, it describes him that way. But at the end, it says, but he was a leper. You know, the last few words in the in verse number one really, in all honesty, cancels out all of the other ones that were said about Nahum. You know, because he was a man that had leprosy, being a captain of the host, really didn't have any more importance. Because the leprosy, that sickness he had, and that disease he had, you know, it really canceled out the importance of him being captain of the host. It canceled out him being a great man. It canceled him out. The victories that he had won for the king of Syria. It really kind of canceled those out. And being called a mighty man of valor, you know, really just didn't seem to be very important anymore when you get to the words that says, but he was a leper. You see, in the Bible here, leprosy is a picture of the lost and of sin. You know, you may be here today, and you may be a good person. You may, in your lifetime thus far, have accomplished great and mighty things. People may look at you and recognize you as a person of position. And having a lot of great and wonderful character and just being a really good person. You know, I thank the Lord. I have the opportunity, Tammy's uncle, many times to witness to him. His name is Bob. Bob Lewis. If y'all remember to pray for him. Bob, he's a great man. And I mean that in every sense of the word. Because Bob, no matter what you might need, if he's got it, it's yours. He's a very unselfish man. He'll do anything for anybody and give you whatever you may need. He's a generous man. He's a moral man. He's an honorable man. You know, when Bob tells you something, you can take it to the bank. When he speaks or when he says something, you know that he's speaking from a sincere, honest heart. And you can depend on what he says. And in my times of witnessing to Bob, he's talked about other Christians. And he looks at things this way. Even though Bob is a great, honorable man, and he has a lot of the qualities here that Nahum has, you see, Bob is lost and without Christ. And all of the good that Bob has done, all of the wonderful things that he's accomplished in his life, really are not that important. Because as the Bible says here, but he was a leper. You see, Bob's lost. And one day, when Bob dies, if he doesn't get saved, he's going to spend eternity in hell forever. You know, you might be in the sound of our voice today, and you might be an honorable person. You might have done some great things. You might be doing some great things. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're just like Nahum here. You have leprosy, and if you die in your sin, you'll spend eternity in hell. You say, now wait a minute, but I've done this or I've done that. You know, I've been a good person. I'm good to my neighbor. I give to charities. I do all kinds of really nice things. Well, the Bible tells us that our very best is as filthy rags in the sight of God. Because, see, it's not your work that God is wanting. God is wanting you to come to Him. And God is wanting to give you salvation. You see, this leper here, Nahum, he was a good man, but he was lost. And again, you may be here today. You may have done some good things. But if you've not put your faith and trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on Calvary, all of those good things are not important. All of those good things, when you stand before God, will not even be recognized. Because what you need is you need to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter in Romans chapter 3 and in verse number 23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, that includes each and every one of us. We all, because of our sin, have fallen short of God's glory. And the only thing that can give us God's glory is the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for us. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, no matter what we've done good, the fact still remains you were born a sinner. And without putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never make it to heaven. Because the Bible says, for the wages of sin, you say, well, now wait a minute, you know, sin, I've never killed anybody. I've never robbed any banks. I've never did horrible crimes. I'm basically a good person. Well, being a basically good person is not what gets you to heaven. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, God doesn't want your works. God wants you to come to Him. God wants you to take the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that He gave, because it's only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that can cleanse and take away your sin. You know, I praise the Lord, I am a sinner, but I am a sinner saved by grace. I stand before you washed in the blood of the Lamb and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ because of what He did for me. You know, I didn't deserve it. As the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. You know what I deserve? I deserve to die and spend eternity in hell forever. But by His grace and His love, and what He did on the cross for my sin, I'll spend eternity in heaven. And you see, it reminds me as I read here about Nahum, and it gives the description about him. And all of it is well, and all of it is wonderful, but that end phrase there cancels everything out. And I hope that if you're here today, or you're tuned in and listening, and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I would that you'd give us the opportunity to take the Bible and to show you what the Bible has to say about being saved. You see, it's not because we're Baptists that we go to heaven. It's not of any denomination. It's not of any religion. It's what God's Word says. It's not of works. But as we go on here, I want to kind of talk a little bit to our Christians that are here today, those who have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you, out of these servants, which one that we're going to talk about this morning identifies you the most? The first servant that we come to in this story, in chapter 2, the Bible says, "And the Syrians had gone out by captains and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maiden, and she waited on Nahum's wife." You know, this little girl here, the Bible calls her a little maiden. You know what that helps me understand? She wasn't an adult, she was a child. She wasn't at her home, she was somewhere where she didn't want to be. She was in a situation where she, if she had her rathers, probably would not had rather been there as a servant to Nahum's wife. She probably would have been a lot more comfortable at home with her mother. In her homeland. But she's not there. And it's really interesting. The only thing that we know about this little girl is where she came from and who she served. And what she did with the opportunity that she had. You see, as she was in the house and serving servant Nahum's wife, and realizing that Nahum had a need, she was willing to forget about her circumstance and help somebody else. You know, many times what happens in our lives, folks, we wind up in situations we don't want to be in. Now, sometimes it's of our own. Sometimes it's not because of anything we did. I would venture to say this little girl here, because it describes her as a little maiden. Oh, now we know that she wasn't perfect. She was a sinner like anybody else. But she was captured and taken against her will, away from her family. You know, she wasn't somebody who was out fighting a battle. She wasn't somebody who was a hardened criminal and deserved what she got. She was where she was at against her will. But you know what she decided to do in her circumstance? She decided to do what was right. She decided that when she saw a need and she knew where the answer of that need was, she decided she'd do something about it. You know, it's really kind of amazing here. And I wonder why her name was not mentioned. Because you would think, well, you know, this little girl, you know, what she did for Nahum, well, at least it would entitle her, you would think, for her name to be in the Bible. And for her name to be recorded. But you know, folks, you know what that kind of helps me understand and learn? It doesn't matter who we are, it's what we do. You see, she was in a circumstances where she had the opportunity, where Nahum needed help. And she knew where he could get help. She knew where he could get healed. She knew that back in her home country was the man of God. And if Nahum could just get there, or the man of God just get to Nahum, she knew that the answer lied there where he could get help. You know, she started to open up her mouth and talk. She started making it known where Nahum could get help. And praise the Lord. We know how the story ends and how it goes. But she was a young lady that was willing to speak up, even though she could have looked at it and said, "Man, let him die. He deserves it. He took me away from my mom. Just let him die. Maybe I'll get to go home." But she chose to do right. You know, as we're called up to serve the Lord, sometimes we find ourselves in uncomfortable situations. Sometimes we find ourselves in things that we don't like. And it's not anything of our own doing. It's just where we wind up. You know, I'll tell you what, I've had some experiences like that in my life, and if you've been around long enough, you'll definitely understand that, where somebody will do something against you. You know what our instinct is to do? I don't know about you all, but my instinct is to retaliate. My instinct is to say, "Hey, now wait a minute. No." Or when I have the opportunity, now I'm just being open to kind of look at this thing and say, "Ha ha, look at him, he got what he deserved." But this young lady, she chose to do what was right. And she got the message out. She got it out, and it went out. Then as we go along here, we see the king of Syria. You see, the people, the lost, they're looking for an answer. And so the Bible tells us here in verse number 5, "And the king of Syria said, 'Go to, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel, and he will depart,' and he departed and took him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment." So what happened is when the message got to the king called Nahum up and gave Nahum a letter and sent him off to the king of Israel. You know, for the king of Israel, that kind of made sense. From one king to another. And the Bible says that the letter was brought to the king. And the king, king of Israel, didn't quite know what to do about it. And he got nervous because he was worried, because he knew that he didn't have the ability. He knew that he didn't have the answer that Nahum needed. And he was worried. Well, praise the Lord. As we go along here and we look at this story, the Bible says that, you know, the way that in verse number 7, the way that the king of Israel looked at the situation was, this job is too big for me. And in the bottom of verse number 7, it says, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Therefore, consider, I pray you, and see how ye seek to quarrel against me." You see, the king, he didn't quite know what to do about the situation. He got worried about it. He got afraid, and he was kind of looking at it as they were going to pick a fight. But the Bible says that Elisha, he heard of it in verse number 8. God's work can only be done by God's people. You see, the king didn't have the answer, but Elisha had the answer. You know, that's like us, folks. God's work can only be done by God's people. You know, there's a lot of Christians today. There's a lot of denominations. There's a lot of people that are running around carrying a Christian flag. And they do a lot of good works. They feed a lot of poor people. They build houses. There's so many things that they do. But you know where they fall short? They may feed a lot of people, but what people need is the gospel. What the people need, what the world needs, is they need God's people doing God's work. And that's getting the gospel message out. And see, the king, he didn't have what it takes, but praise the Lord. Elisha, the Bible says in verse number 8, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, and that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that that there is a prophet in Israel." So Elisha sent word for Nahum to be sent there. Now again, what I want to kind of point out here is the servants. What I really kind of find interesting in this verse here about this next guy in verse number 10. When Nahum went to the house of Elisha, the Bible says that he got to the door of the house of Elisha. And I'm sure he knocked on the door, and the Bible says in verse number 10, and Elisha sent a messenger saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." Here we have another unnamed servant, or an unnamed missionary, who was given responsibility to carry a message. You know, this guy here, what's really interesting, it does not refer to him as a servant. It refers to him as a messenger. You know, Elisha told the messenger what to tell Nahum. You know, there could have been a lot of mistakes made here. But this messenger made sure that he repeated word for word what he was told. You know, as I think about that, and I think about the person or the messenger that brought me the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am so glad that he showed me the right way. You know, we got a lot of messengers out there, and they're carrying a gospel, but not the gospel. You see, there's only one way to heaven. And the Bible says that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "By me shall any man enter in." And in the name of Jesus, the Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. You see, there's a lot of messengers out there, but they don't have the right message. And when we go out, and as we go out as messengers, we need to make sure, church, that we go out with the right message. This Saturday, we're going to invite people to come to our church property, and we're going to have some things for them, and we're going to have some bouncy houses, we're going to have some candy, we're going to have some games, we're going to have some fun. But you know, it's not all about that. What it's about is making sure that they get the right message, and that they understand that more important than anything in the world, they need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. This messenger, he went out and he gave word for word that he was to go, Nahum was to go and he was to wash himself seven times in the Jordan River. And when he did that, the Bible, the message was that thy flesh shall come again unto thee and thou shalt be clean. You know, there's only one true message, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says here, you know, the unsaved often has a negative response, because the Bible says here, but Nahum was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leprosy. You know, the unsaved a lot of times don't like the way God does things. Because the unsaved don't like to humble themselves. But you know, I really thank the Lord. You know, and as we go here and we look at this, you know, Nahum, he had his way of getting rid of his leprosy. And he had his ideal. And his ideal was that Elisha was going to come out and lay his hand on him or say a prayer over him and it would be gone. And then he had complaints about where he was to be saved or where he was to get the leprosy cleansed. Yeah, because he talked about the rivers in Damascus. He talked about better waters than the Jordan River. You see, God only has one way of salvation. And what we need to do is we need to make sure that the world knows that it's not their way, it's only God's way. But you know, we see another servant here in verse number 11. And his servant came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean. Again, here's another servant. And the Bible calls him a servant. Now, the Bible doesn't say where this servant came from, but I've got a pretty good idea that maybe this servant that was talking to Elisha or talking to Nahum come from the same place that little girl came from. Because he stopped and he reasoned with, or pleaded with, or made sure that he, you know, spoke up and said, now, you know, now wait a minute here, Nahum, think about this. What's more important? Doing something great, or getting your sins washed away, or getting this leprosy gone? And so he encouraged him to go and to wash himself in the Jordan River. And the Bible tells us here in verse number 14, then went he down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was cleansed. You know what you see there? Obedience to God gave him new life. You see, he could have gone to Damascus and washed in the rivers in Damascus, but you know what he would have not gotten? He would have not gotten cleansed, because God only has one way. Obedience is very important. You see, because he went down to the Jordan River and where God told him to go, where he was told to dip seven times, the Bible says here, I really like how it puts it here. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. You see, it changed Nahum's life. His flesh was not like it used to be. It wasn't the same old flesh. It was, the Bible says, the flesh of a new child, and he was cleansed. The only way that there can be true salvation in anyone's life and a true cleansing is to come and obey God. And this servant here made sure and talked to his master and made sure and convinced his master to follow and to obey the Lord. You know what we need to do as servants of the Lord? We need to go out and, as the Bible says, bid people to come in. We need to go out and not just casually witness. We need to do that. But what we need to do is we need to make sure that, and we need to plead with people. The Bible says in Psalms, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. You know what we need to do in presenting the gospel? We need to make sure that we go out with prayers and weeping, and we need to make sure that people hear and listen and not just settle for religion. You know, there's a lot of religions out there that'll tell you that if you're a good person, and if you do good, and if you do your very best, you'll be okay. I it wasn't too long ago here, and I was talking to a man, and he was a preacher of another denomination, and he was wanting something from me, and we were talking, and he just kept saying, well, we believe the same thing. We're just alike. You know, all religions are heading the right direction. Every denomination is good in their way. No, I'm sorry. That's not true. Because there's only one way to heaven. It's not in a denomination. You can be a member of Faith Independent Baptist Church, be baptized here in the baptistry, but if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will spend eternity in hell. Because Faith Independent Baptist Church can't save you, and neither can any other denomination, neither can any other religion, or any other person. The only person salvation is through is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the last servant that we'll look at here. And what's really strange, in verse number 20, it mentions his name. But, and I know I won't say it right, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "Behold, my master hath spared Nahum the Syrian in not receiving at his hand that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him." You know, this servant got his name written down, but he was a wicked servant. He was a bad servant. He was someone who decided, now wait a minute, Nahum should have to pay for what he did. Nahum should have to make recompense for what he did. It needs to cost Nahum. So the Bible says, "But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him." You know, this servant decided that there needed to be retribution made. You know, sometimes we look at people, folks, and we think, no, they don't deserve it. They don't deserve to be saved, or they should pay. You know, I've used this illustration before. And I remember the day that I witnessed to a man in Sears department store, covered with tattoos from head to toe, had chains from head to toe, wearing leather, big old skull tattoos on his arm. You know, when I first took a look at him, I thought, well, first of all, he won't be interested in what I have to say. Secondly, would he deserve what I have to say? But you know, the Holy Spirit of God kept laying upon my heart to witness to him. I witnessed to him, and he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. Grown man in a department store, bowed his head, wept like a baby, and accepted Christ as his Savior. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to save him. And I almost became this servant here, thinking, well, he don't deserve it. He ought to pay. There ought to be something in it for me. I wonder here this morning, Christians, we've talked about three servants here. I would pray that your life is like that little girl. In her circumstance and everything that was going on, somewhere where she didn't want to be, going through something that she didn't want to go through. But when she had opportunity, she was faithful. And she made sure that the person in need got to the one who could take care of the need. I wonder, when we go out and we look at the next servant and the messenger, when we go out and we present the message of the gospel, are we presenting the message the way it should be? Make sure that we don't add to the gospel or take away from the gospel. It's not about good works. It's not about church membership. It's about the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. It's about putting your faith and trust in Him. We need to make sure that we have the gospel clear and right. And then the servant that stood by Nahum. You know, sometimes people just need a little bit of convincing. Sometimes people need more than just a little casual go by and give them a gospel tract. Sometimes what they need is somebody to sit down with them and say, now, hey, wait a minute. You're looking at it this way, but God said there's only salvation in Jesus Christ. Your way, you're not going to get what you're looking for. God's way is worth taking a chance. I want to encourage you, folks. There are some people that need prayed for. There are some people that need some convincing to do the right thing. You say, well, who is that? Well, who's God laying on your heart? Who do you know that's lost and they need a little bit of convincing? They need a little bit of talking to, and I want to encourage you to do that. And then I'll close with this. Make sure you're not the disobedient servant. Make sure that you don't rob God of His blessing. And you see, that's what Gehazi did here. He robbed God of a blessing. He took something that he shouldn't have. And might I point out to you, he also paid the consequence. Because in verse number 27 it says, and the leprosy wherein that Nahum shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from the presence, a leper as white as snow. You know, when we decide that we're going to be that evil servant, we're going to suffer the consequences of that servant. Not only are we going to suffer the consequences of that evil servant, the Bible says that here, it says, unto thy seed forever. You know, some of the decisions we make affect generation after generation after generation after generation. You say, well, what's happened here in America? Why? How did America get in the position it's in? How did we get to where we are? Very simply, moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, stop spreading the message. Grandmas and grandpas, quit putting their children on their knees and sharing the gospel with them. Moms and dads, quit coming to church and bringing their kids to church and getting them in the place where they could hear the gospel and telling them the gospel. You say, well, you know, you don't understand. In my life, you know, there's important things going on, and Sunday's the only day I can do it. No, it's not. Oh yeah, the Bible says that, you know, in Israel, when their ox was in the ditch, it was okay to work on the Sabbath. You know, every now and then we might have an ox in the ditch situation. But you know why there isn't a lot of people here today? It wasn't because they got an ox in the ditch. It's because they got sin in their heart. They made a conscious decision not to come. As we go out and as we raise up our next generation, moms, dads, grandmas, and grandpas, we need to be clear. We need to tell them the truth. We need to sit them down. We need to make sure that they're where they need to be so they can hear what they need to hear. And if you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I pray that today would be the day you'd get saved. We're going to have an invitation here in just a moment. And when that invitation is given, Brother Jed, why don't you come on up? Sister Helen, let's get ready for our invitation. I want to invite you to come. And we'll take the Bible. If you don't know for sure that heaven is your home, we'll take the Bible. We'll show you how you can know for sure that heaven be your home. And you could leave here and put your head on the pillow tonight and not have to worry that if you were not to wake up, where you'd spend your eternity. And I want to challenge you to do that if you're not saved. Christian, what kind of servant are you? The servants we talked about in this story in 2 Kings, which one are you? Are you being faithful? Are you being disobedient? You're saying, well, yeah, I'm really not faithful, but, I'm really not like that other guy either. As I've said many times, there's no gray area with God. There's no middle line. You know who convinces you that there's a gray area and that there's a middle line? The devil. Because he wants you to think it's okay to walk with one foot in the world and one foot with God. There is no middle line. So you're either a faithful servant doing what you should do, or you're a disobedient servant in doing what you shouldn't do. And I want to encourage you. If that's you, you're only one prayer from getting it right. You're only one prayer from getting it right. Will you do that today? Let's everybody go ahead and stand to your feet. And if God's dealing with your heart, don't wait. Come on the first verse.